I'm Tom Ruane. I'm an audio engineer in the British Library Sound Archive. My work involves preserving collections that we hold here.
With half shut eyes that can be calm in what they look for.
Who would have known? Sound like a foreign language. So obviously at wrong speed. I mean, the ironic thing is these archival copies that we made onto tape are now in themselves in danger, so they need to be digitised now.
I'm in an underground vault in central London, surrounded by vintage analogue audio equipment. This is the British Library Sound Archive, which is one of the largest collections of recorded sounds in the world.
And I'll just wind it through a little bit just to check. Slowly, just to check that there's the tape's not shedding in any way or sticking, because if you do that on a fast wind, obviously it can do quite serious damage to the tape.
I'm finding out what makes it so unique.
Let's play a little bit.
We have 6.5 million recordings, roughly, contained on about 1.5 million discs and tapes, and about a third of those are not published. Individual cassettes or reel-to-reel tapes or wax cylinders or anything really. So those, almost by definition, will be either literally unique or they'll be one of, you know, perhaps two or three copies. My name's Will Prentice. I'm the Head of Technical Services in Sound and Vision at the British Library. So my role is really to look after the preservation of the audiovisual collections here. We're also, as an institution, unique in the UK, certainly in terms of our size. We're kind of the national repository for sound. The majority of our collection is musical. We have a theatre and performance collection. We have a very large wildlife and environmental sounds collection, oral history material. Essentially, if you can think of a sound, then we've probably got something a bit like it here. That's the idea, anyway. It's an accumulation of inherited memory, if you like. Up until 1925, recording was restricted in terms of technology by the fact that it was largely acoustic. So there was no electricity involved, no microphones, no amplifiers. It was purely the acoustic energy of a sound vibrating a diaphragm at the far end of a tin horn. So it was very hard to record something far away. You couldn't, for example, take a device outside and record birdsong in the trees because it just wouldn't be captured.
I'm Cheryl Tipp and I'm Curator of Wildlife and Environmental Sounds at the British Library. In terms of what's catalogued, we've got about 220,000 recordings of species. Having the sounds of wildlife of different species, from birds to mammals to amphibians to insects, is great for research in terms of bioacoustics, so trying to understand what animals are saying, you know, when they communicate with each other. Luckily, we've got such a great collection here that researchers can come here and get copies of recordings and then use it to, you know, identify new populations and then help save the species.
They do this in what is called playback experiments. If an individual bird, for example, has a unique call, scientists can play the sounds from that species back into their natural habitat to elicit a response from the animal. That response is then recorded and analysed, identifying the bird and allowing scientists to conduct a census of the bird population.
Researchers noticed that in the UK around 1997, bitterns were declining. They didn't quite know why and they didn't know how bad the situation was. So the bittern is a wetland bird and you find it in the southern half of England. And they're very secretive as well. So normally you use your ear rather than your eyes, you know, because they're just so very skulking birds. Again, they found by analysing recordings here that each male had its own distinctive boom, so its own distinctive voice. It's a breeding call. It's quite low as well. And so they used that knowledge to then go out and record where bitterns existed. Can't do it by sight, just because of the habitat or the size. And so they use playback. They used recordings from here. They used the sounds of the boom of the song, played it into the environment, get a response. And like, oh great, they're here. That's male one, that's male two, male three. And they discovered that there was only 11 males left in the entire country. So they then kick-started a conservation programme and protecting the habitat of that species, and the numbers are going up and they're continuing to go up, which is a great success story.
But this treasure trove of audio recordings needs its own conservation program to avoid the extinction of part of the British national heritage.
So there's two big challenges at the present, and they're all time-based. Some of our carriers, discs and tapes and cylinders and so on, are degrading just through time and chemistry. No matter how well they're stored, they just don't age well. Another is that the equipment required to replay them is wearing out, shall we say. Many of the old carriers, such as reel-to-reel players and so on, are no longer made. The spare parts are no longer made. And because this material always requires technology to access it, it means we can't just archive the item as we would do if it was a book or a manuscript. We have to archive the system. That means the replay equipment, all the spare parts that will ever be needed, the service manual that allows you to maintain it, the expertise required to operate it, the expertise required to fix a very old tape if it's damaged and so on. So all of that is very tricky to maintain. The spare parts will run out and we're essentially racing against the clock.
I'm still getting in collections that are analogue, so I'm getting in cassettes, I'm getting in DAT tapes, I'm getting in quarter-inch tapes still. We've got a huge amount of analogue that has to be digitised. And if we don't do it within the next 15 years, then I think we're really going to be in trouble. We have a few recordings in the archive of species that are now extinct. Probably one of the most poignant ones is a recording from the Hawaiian archipelago. It was a songbird called the Kwai Uu'a'a, that's his name, it's Moho Brachatus. And that species really suffered in the 20th century. And when they got to sort of 1982, I think, there was one pair left of this species. And then the female, she was killed in a hurricane that swept across the island. And so only the male was left of this pair. A recordist managed to capture the song of this last male. And it was singing, trying to attract his mate. But of course, his mate had died. He didn't know. So it's so sad because you listen to it and you can hear the male sort of calling out for his mate. He's never going to answer. And so we have that recording, not just of an extinct species, but of the last individual of that species.